This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number three of the program from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Fan Run Radio, pick you up some White Claw, 5% alcohol by volume, delicious flavors, and always made pure. It's White Claw Hard Seltzer. Going to go right back to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Keep them loaded up as we start hour three. We got DR Vol up first. What's up, DR? You're on three and out.
Hey, guys. I'm so glad that we've moved to the blaming the fans again.
It's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I can't say what I want to. I'll wait until we're app only one day. But let me tell you why that pisses me off. He wants to talk about we don't support them. Guys, I guess it was 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I pushed my little brother around that campus. He had about 2 months left to live because he's dying from cancer. And all he wanted to do was go support Tennessee one more time. So for somebody like that to come out and say that fans don't support it, and that was during Dooley's last year, so you know it sucked to watch. I really have a hard time. That's a hard pill to swallow, knowing there's people like him that before he leaves this earth, he wants to watch Tennessee, and then we got players coming out and saying we don't support them. That's just something I can't get over. Kind of like Brian Maurer earlier this year saying that this is his team, and like I said, well, I'm glad it's not my team because his team sucks.
When players do, and I don't know like where that comes from. I don't know if they see it on social media and just think, oh my gosh, we don't have any support, or if that is like the last move of a dying coach. Because Butch did that. Butch tried to turn the team against the fan base. Like, oh, look at them. They don't care. F all of them. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know if that's like the maneuver when you're losing and you're bad. But it's happened here a couple times.
Yeah, it's just kind of like those people that, you know, right before they go to jail for something, that it's, let's blame everybody but myself.
Right,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Kind of what a narcissist does.
It's just, it's a weird behavior. I mean, yes, fans want you to win, and they're going to be critical when you play with no effort, when you coach poorly. But they're still going to support you if you're worth supporting. And from everything that's come out this week, man, a lot of these players probably didn't deserve support for what was going on. The coaches certainly didn't.
I love how he said that fans only want to win. It's like, yeah, bro. That's the deal. You know, you get to play football. You get an opportunity to try and show people you can make millions in the NFL. You get an education. You get a stipend, and fans get to watch you try and win. And I mean that's all the fans get is emotion. Like that's all we get for all those dollars that allow you to have the best training, have the best weight program, have the best to hopefully go make millions of dollars one day. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean
if you don't want to do the deal, then just go. I mean, I don't know, go get a job.
Yeah, like normal people do. I mean, he's getting paid to play for this university, and we pay to support it. So you know that kind of. That doesn't sit right with me, I guess you could say. I just stuff like that. That's why I get so mad at these people calling about nega balls and, you know, they're the ones destroying the program. Davey sees all the time in that Vault for Life Facebook group. That's why I love putting it. I love putting on there, like, when we were getting killed by Florida the other night, that this was strictly because of nega balls, and then they attack me how stupid that is. I'm just trying to point out the stupidity of that statement.
Yeah, I don't know. That happens a lot with college athletes, and I try to cut them some slack. I mean, they're still – the one that always jumps to my mind, though, is when Andrew Luck said he hated fantasy football and he hates everything about it and he hates people that play it. And I was like, Andrew, do you realize, like, your salary is literally probably $1 million more a year, maybe two, strictly because of fantasy football? It's like, how do these people not understand – I don't know. I just for anybody that's ever been successful at anything, it's important to take a step back and go, you know, I wouldn't have got there without this happening and this happening and this happening and these people and those people. And I mean, you know, no one makes it doing anything without other people, I guess. And the fans are the reason college football is the way it is. Otherwise, it'd be intramurals. It'd be like just down there, you know, with a couple of cones and a student ref that, you know, never sees anything.
Well, I will say this to defend Darrell Middleton, and I'll get off here. You know, maybe we should lower expectations from winning to just let's not get our ass kicked by Kentucky at home. Let's start with that, and I'll quit expecting wins. Y'all have a good day.
Nah, thanks for the call, DR. I do cut some of the players a little slack when the coaching staff's so terrible, because I mean that's part of it. Like, I mean, if you instill the right type of culture, and we've seen it way too much at Neyland Stadium, you know. When you win on an opposing team's home field, you can kind of tell the teams that appreciate the fan bases. I mean, they go celebrate with the visit with because there's fans and then there's the road fans, right? Then there's the fans that are at every game that are, you know, back when everything was normal in the corner of the end zone, right? And I think good coaches instill a culture with these football players and explain to them. Really, it's the economics of college football. And by that, I don't necessarily mean just money. I mean how all of maybe it's the emotional economics. How much time, energy, and effort fans put in to support the team, and good coaches are able to communicate that to their players through the course of a 2-3-4 year career, where you really do end up bonded to the place where you played college football once you leave that place. Let's go next to Jamie on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's up, Jamie? You're on 3 and Out.
Howdy, fellers.
Morning.
Yeah, guys, I would never initiate a tweet to a Tennessee football player or any football player to that, but when an adult Tennessee football player starts pointing the fingers at us, I'm firing right. When he steps out on the platform of Twitter and starts that crap, he's going to get it right back. He asked for it. You know, I would, like I said, I would never start firing him off first, but I won't sit here and take it. And somebody needs to educate that guy. It ain't, we didn't do anything to you, bro. You need to talk to your head coach about that. And, you know, from what I'm seeing by him, like Roberto was saying, double digit, level one, the odds of a player being paid over there is better than not. So I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but right now nobody's safe. Right now it's better to look at everybody, you know, a little side-eyed, like, I don't know. You know, he's paying everybody, paying guys that didn't even go here. Kind of makes you wonder, you know, Saban's always playing chess, 3D chess, when everybody else is playing checkers. I wonder if he was like, yeah, go on over there, bro. Bury them. We'll let you come back. I mean, you're doing Bama's work for it.
A lot of people said that the minute he was hired.
Does Saban even need that, though? Like, I feel like
yeah, I mean, he's never lost to us.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
maybe.
The reason why I suggest that is, you know, Saban, Georgia came up pretty close there for a little bit. And, you know, gave Saban a run for his money. And I'd say he, you know, he's, like I said, he's one step ahead. He turned his game from a defensive power eye game to the offensive, you know, score 50 a game. He's never been one to hold on to the old ways. And if he's like, look, Georgia, let's be honest, Georgia was able to do it. And if Georgia can do it, I'm damn not sure no Tennessee can do it. So let's eliminate our foes out there before they become our foes. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. But, guys, I called in today. I know you got a lot of callers. It's an interesting time, you know. Everybody talks about you got to immediately shut down Kiffin or Freeze. Let me just break something down for everybody out there. You know who the athletic director was during the most prominent, successful time of UT football?
Doug Dickey.
Do you remember what he did? Took a big dump on UT whenever he coached Tennessee in a bowl game against Florida and laid the egg, and then the next day became the head coach at University of Florida.
I do not know that story.
Yeah, you should Google it. He was the head coach at University of Tennessee. I believe the way the story goes, I don't know if it was Florida, the team that we played in the bowl game. I'm 99% sure it was. Tennessee laid an egg, and the very next day, Doug Dickey was announced as the head coach for the University of Florida. But you know what Tennessee did? You know what Tennessee went and did after that, guys? They needed an athletic director, and they wanted to win, and they put let bygones be bygones and realized it doesn't really matter what you've done in the past. It's what can you do for me today. People can change. People can learn from their mistakes. You can always put in contract stipulations to make sure the same exact thing won't happen. And you hire the best guy out there for the job. And look what it did for us. The most successful tenure of any athletic director in the history of the program. So I just, you know, if anybody wants a template and say it's never been done before, well, there you go. The best thing for this university to do is to go out and rehire Lane Kiffin, put in his contract that you will, if you decide to leave within the first 3 years, not only will you pay your own buyout, but you owe University of Tennessee $35 million. And, you know, when you get up there and you, you know, everywhere you go, you'll wear a stitch, you'll have orange on. We won't know, we won't see anything from Southern Cal. And I don't think the guy will have to be talked into any of this.
Mm-mm.
I find it very, I can see it. I can see why he would say, look, man, I blew it at Tennessee. You know, I thought at the time USC was going to be the place for me because that's where I started and had a lot of success. But I think, you know, given what's happened to him since he left UT, finding out Southern Cal didn't have any love for him, firing him on a tarmac, you know, having to go, I think his ego's been put in check. And I think, man, if I'm Lane Kiffin, I'm like, dude, I had it. I had fans that love me there. It's a great opportunity. I just, you know, trying not to look at it through orange colored glasses, I still come up with that opinion. So I just, to anybody out there who's a decision maker, I just hope they decide to look back at University of Tennessee history. It's not that long ago. You want to be successful. You want to compete. You better hire somebody the only box you need to check. Does he scare the living hell out of the other teams that we're trying to compete mm-hmm. with? And there's one guy on that list, you know, Russ tries to tell me he's never won anything, but he's at Ole Miss and he put up 50 in his first year at Alabama. What do you think he could do from the platform of the University of Tennessee with that kind of resource, with that kind of recruiting power? So anyway, this is my two cents. I've been thinking about it with, you know, with the whole, we can't hire Kiffin or freeze talk. I started thinking, you know, we've done this before.
Yeah. And it worked. We took 1985, a guy that, 1985 to 2002. I mean, is the heyday of, you know, modern Tennessee football. I mean, that's, you know, that was Johnny Majors at 85 finished top five in the country and had his, you know, two other really good years there. And then a bunch of pretty damn good years. And then all the Philip Fulmer's best years were in that time period as well.
Yeah, guys, on the way out, also during that time, Tennessee turned their back on a favorite son, Johnny Majors, to take the program to the next level. Now, I'm not saying that that's the decision I would have made, but we got a national championship out of it, and I always loved Johnny Majors. That's what good athletic directors do, though, man. They say, look, what's better for the program? What's better for the program? And I just think, you know, if Lane Kiffin can turn a crappy Ole Miss team around and win, you know, go 4-4 in his first year, you know, piling up points against Alabama, you can imagine what he would do here. And just for the fans out there and for the people that think it just can't be done, it has been done, and it's turned out to be pretty damn successful. Y'all hang in there.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
No, he's number one on my board.
Yeah.
Like, if I can get Lane Kiffin, I'm taking Lane Kiffin. He's number one on my board. I just don't know what the decision makers board looks like. Because I agree with everything Jamie said. Like, you could give him the Bruce Pearl contract he got at Auburn, where it's like, hey, if you leave in, you know, 5 years or less, you owe us bank. You can insulate yourself. And I agree with Jamie. I think if Lane Kiffin wants this job as bad as people are saying he does, he would absolutely be willing to at least protect the university based on how it went the last time.
We'll come back with more, take more of your phone calls on the flip side. Final call to get on the phone lines. If you're already on there, hang tight. We'll come to you next. Stick with us. The number's 865-546-8200. More Hour 3 next. Spend my dollar.
Parking a holler neath the mountain moonlight. Hold her up tight. Make a little loving.
Hour three continues. Three and out. Nate Hodges, Houston Crest, Davey Hudson. Got a full house. Got new intern Alex, Will. New intern Alex and Will. Taking you through the program.
Loaded.
If you missed any portions, check out the podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Get those directly to your device. We go right back to the G3 Help Me Hotline. We got Zach up next. What's up, Zach? You're on three and out.
Well, you say Houston, Nate, Davey, Will, and Alex.
Wow. Wow. Well done, Zach.
I did it.
Well done.
I did it. I fit them all. I feel like Rod from the farm, fitting it all in.
There you go.
Hey, who? What? I'm sorry. What player? I missed. You know, working the other a little bit. What happened now with the player saying that all the fans want to do is win? What was?
Yeah,
you know,
Daryl Middleton.
Daryl Middleton.
That.
Fans don't support us. All they care about is winning. What about our future?
He grew up in the area. It's kind of surprising.
Well, that's what you get when you don't have a winning culture. You know, when players go to Alabama, they expect to be worked to death because they want a chance to compete in the NFL. Guess what? They want to win, too, because they have a winning program. And, you know, you come to UT, I guess, what do you want to come and lose and just try to, you know, walk on an NFL team or get drafted in the sixth round so your wheels are a little bit fresher? You know, is that what we are now? Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. I don't know. I mean,
but didn't we hear that during the season that there are some players who are more interested in having the uniform and the helmet and not actually putting the work in mm-hmm. it takes to succeed and win and play well, but they get to take the pictures for their Instagram.
There was a coach who said that. I'm trying to think of who it was.
Just you got to laugh instead of cry.
They want to look like football players, not necessarily play football.
Yeah.
I'm just not wired that way. Maybe I was, you know, growing up in East Tennessee in a small town. Like, I grew up in Wartburg, Tennessee, and, you know, we didn't have much. Me and my grandmother starting out, and I always want to win in life. You know, I was always a competitive kid, and just that's in my nature. Anything I do, Nate, you probably feel that way about your business. You know, you're competitive. You guys are a little bit in sales, so you're driven. I want to win at everything I do. I remember this past Christmas playing Connect Four, and I almost lost my, you know, senses because I was losing. I hate losing. And where do we get that back? Instead of fans just want to win. Well, yeah, that's what the diehards are here for, buddy.
Yeah, I don't know. The best coaches always will tell you like the losses hurt more than the wins feel good. I mean, it's just that's how great coaches are wired. And it's, you know, Saban asked somebody to get him a tape on Miami on the plane back after the national title game because that's their opener next year.
It's like relief when you win. Just thank God we didn't lose. And then you lose and it's misery for coaches who care.
Pruitt never seemed to be bothered by anything.
No, he didn't give a crap. You know, the other thing is, too, is that, you know, that's how well Alabama is. They're getting coaching candidates that are on our hot board from our AD. You know, like Doug Marrone is an offensive line coach. That's a good hire for them. But, heck, we're looking at them for head coach. You know, that's a good sign of your program when you can pull NFL people, former NFL people on your staff. You're doing something right. Let me transition, and I'll get off here. So back to Jamie's call. I agree with everything he said except only the inverse, and I would go with you for East. That's my number one guy. I've been pretty straightforward with it on everything I've been. I've been, you know, I think Davey's right there, too. The reason – not saying it will happen, but this is kind of the best time for fans right now because we get to, you know, live in our hopes and our dreams. And I couldn't imagine a Hugh Freeze, Kevin Steele type combo with him on offense and Steele on defense. That gets your program, I think, back right away. You have somebody monitoring the NCAA stuff. You got the one-term time transfer portal. If you want to win, I believe that's your guy. You know, I talked about the winning and the culture. You go back to Hugh Freeze, he was winning at a high level even when he coached girls basketball at Briarcrest. I mean, the guy's a winner. I mean, just the record alone, how he's developed quarterbacks, I'm sold on that guy. But, you know, like you said, it probably never happened, but I'd like to dream. Time to dream. And this is the best time to do it as a Tennessee ball. Hey, you guys hang in there. Take care.
There you go, Zach.
Yeah, Nate, that's what you said. Yes, like, enjoy it now because we may get hit with, you know, it's going to be John Gilbert and Bill Clark.
Yeah. I kind of agree with Zach about Freeze, but think about this. Mark Ingram and Jamie Chadwell have both built an athletic, you know, like, for Ingram, a football program out of nothing, like the restart out of nothing. Jamie Chadwell's rebuilt three different football programs and won very quickly at all three. They've done more with less in both of their roles. Bring them here. Give them what they need, which Tennessee always does. I mean, you know. And I don't care where Tennessee has to start. I just don't. I don't care how low it is. I don't care if the roster starts with zero players. Bring those two guys in who have built a football one guy's built a football program out of nothing, and one guy who has rebuilt three football programs at three different levels, and let's go. Let's see what they can do. Bring in some builders that know what it takes to take lesser things on paper and push through the challenges. Find, you know, Mark Ingram finds ways to raise money in a state where all the money's already going to Alabama and Auburn. Finds a way.
Builds it.
Jamie Chadwell finds a way on offense with a two-star kid to, I mean, have some of the most impressive stats in the country. Their offense is top 15 in the country, yards per play, with a bunch of two-star kids. With like a 5'10 starting center that would whoop Brandon Kennedy's ass right now. Like, give me the guys that can take less and do more and give them a little more, and I don't care. Tennessee will rise from the ashes with those types of guys. I'm about to tweet that right now. It's good. I got all queued up.
Oh, okay, you ready?
Yeah.
No, I mean, builders. That's what you have to have. Jeremy Pruitt never built anything. Yeah. He always went to a stack defense. Yeah, he could call some plays.
Built it. He played for his daddy.
Oh, no, I'm just saying.
His whole life, he's just
handing
it out.
No, hang on. Butch rode the coattails of Brian Kelly. He never built anything. It's like a Drinkwitz. He just inherited a good situation at Cincinnati and didn't mess it up too bad. Dooley did not do anything at La Tech. He had 1-8-5 season. In what, like 3 years? Didn't build it. Just kind of showed up there, hung around, whatever. Yeah, man, like Kiffin went to FAU and built it. It was not that good of a situation. Chadwell, he's built it. Hugh Freeze, he's built it. Give me guys who will work and who have done it, and obviously offensive minded. We need somebody to come in here and just be I read this, I think it was in that article, like we need a governor type coach, someone who can absolutely unify this fan base. Maybe not initially, maybe not the minute it's announced. Hey, it's, you know, it's Lane Kiffin. If Lane Kiffin gets up there at that press conference and says what I think he would say, everyone will be on board. If Jamie Chadwell got this job and got up there on the press conference and said what I think he would say, everyone would be on board. That's what we have to have. We have to have everybody on board. We have to have an AD who can unite the boosters without being too submissive to certain boosters. Mm-hmm. And we have to have a coach who can unite this fan base with the team. Was it Zach saying that? Like, they closed practice. No videos. Like we never got to know this team. And now we know why. We know why they didn't want people at the complex. We know why they didn't want people watching. They're afraid they'd hear something or see something. We need somebody who says, welcome. This is going to be your program, but we can't do it without you. We're going to be building it, but we need your help. Pruitt got here and said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to lock the doors. We're going to go to work. We're going to get it right. No. No, you're not. You didn't. You didn't want to build anything. You just wanted to pay really good players to come here, so you had to work less. so that you didn't have to teach as well or game plan as well. I thought it was very fascinating what John Reed said. No idea if it's true, but it absolutely makes sense. Team's beating Georgia. They get the goal line stop right before the half. They get into the locker room. They're excited, ready to go. What's the game plan? Oh, well, we didn't really have, like, a separate game plan for the second half. We didn't think we'd be in this situation, so let's just go out there and keep playing hard. And then what happened? You got smoked. And then the season was done. You lost to Kentucky the next game, and the losing set in. Need a guy with a brain, with passion, and can build. Got to build it. Because, I mean, we've talked about it. We don't know where rock bottom is. I will say Butch Jones at least said the words, right? Oh, we got to have brick by brick a foundation. Like, he tried to say he was building it. We need somebody to actually come in here and do it. And I will gladly take the guys who have done it before at a high level, even if they might not be the, I guess for Chadwell, that's like the one knock. Oh, he's only been power five or, you know, mm-hmm. never been power five or always been D2, group of five coach, one good year. No.
Do you know how hard it is to take a team from FCS to FBS? I mean, the difference between those two levels is the amount of scholarship players you have. Like, who better to maybe right. have to deal with some right. scholarship productions?
Mm-hmm. Or a team that's depleted, right?
Yeah, let's freaking go. Come back with more. Hour three. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.
Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time.
Well, there's so much Tennessee talk. Not so much time for the playoffs, but we'll get to it. Probably a lot tomorrow as well as going to the weekend. It is the AFC-NFC Championship rounds of the NFL playoffs, and it's a great time to get involved with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you've never tried FanDuel before, the playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. Right now, new users can still get the exclusive 25-1 odds boost. Just pick a winner in either the AFC or NFC Championship game, and you can win big with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Download it. Use our promo code 3OUT. We love it. You will too. Just pick your winner this weekend. You know, maybe you want to go with the home team. Chiefs. Looks like Mahomes is going to be good to go. So you only have to, they haven't covered much this year, but been a safe bet to win pretty much every week. It could be a tough matchup with the Bills. Two great games coming up. You just pick the winner, and you can win win at 25-1 odds. With a max bonus of $125. Easy to use. They always have nice odds boosts and specials. Even if you're not new, check them out this weekend on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Live betting as well. We mentioned the same game parlays already. There's tons of stuff to bet. We love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You will too. Just download it and use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up so they know we sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. Must wager on designated boost. Market deposit required. Max bonus $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Get some builders in here. Let's go.
Still fascinated by the timeline.
I mean, we tried the guy that had been around all the success and could just copy it. That's all I had to do.
And
we can tell that story now too. I guess he literally photocopied the Alabama playbook, the Georgia playbook, put them together in a binder, and that's what they went with first year.
Yeah,
that's what Jeremy Pruitt did on defense.
Was that what's in the tubs and tubs of Tupperware?
No, those are all the notebooks he kept for the. You
know. I would love to read some of those. I would just die.
It would just be exactly what we do for VFL.
Yeah.
It would be like, the exact same thing.
I'm just curious.
I woke up this morning.
Had a cup of coffee. Casey made eggs. They were a little runny. I like my eggs nice and firm. I like my bacon medium. She burnt my bacon. Okay, going to the office now. Back later. Bye. Dear Diary.
The Big Orange Gun, after I tweeted, well, here, I'm going to read the whole daggum thing, give you some context, especially since I came back from break. All right, so I tweeted, Mark Ingram and Jamie Chadwell, both builders have done more with less for a long time. Give them what they need, and no matter where they have to start, the Tennessee football program will rise from the ashes. The Big Orange Gun says, whoever the Vols hire, it needs to be a coach that can recruit, develop, and coach quarterbacks.
Mm.
Having a quality quarterback is the most important factor to success of a football team. Big Orange Gun, please see podcast hour two.
Mm-hmm.
two-star quarterback, 27. No, wait, let's add the rushing in to carry the one. Not really. Oh, no, yeah, carry the one. 34 touchdowns, 3 picks. There you go. Redshirt freshman.
If they bring in Rodney Garner today, does that just terrify you? Does that make you think it's going to be Steele for a year?
Why are we hiring people without the AD? I thought the AD was going to kind of like who's hiring Rodney Garner? Kevin Steele?
That was the report yesterday, was that he wants some more staff members
to help
replace the guys that are gone, because we still have to recruit.
Any leadership with a brain says, Kevin, I know, I just need you to be patient. We're gonna figure this out. We can't start hiring guys when we
may have to fire them in a month.
This makes no sense.
Because that's not going to be very attractive to the next candidate who may want to bring his own D-line coach or whatever. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
Make it a month-to-month contract, and I'll let him come.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Yeah. I mean, he and his agent won't sign that.
No.
But that's absolutely what I would do.
You just wait forever to get the MOU over to him?
No, we're working on it. We had a typo. Got to fix that. We'll get it to you next week. Surely they're not going to do that.
I don't know. There's this fake kind of story out there that Travis tweets it. Chad has a history of recruiting violations, and Reed replied back, false. He and another coach contacted a recruit on social media. I know the Charleston Southern thing, like some kids used the stipend money to buy electronics from the bookstore that weren't approved or something.
Right.
I mean, this is not like Hugh and the hookers. It's not like
The paying for Laramie Tunsil's rent and utilities.
Yeah, like it's a little different.
Or McDonald's bags of cash.
That's all. Whether that's true or not, that will always be the Pruitt thing forever. Like, it's over. Like,
yeah.
It's,
I don't think it's true.
But it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's true. But Dan Patrick made us a laughingstock for that.
Like, it might have happened one time.
Mm-hmm.
But
the way he said it was just
this is how they did it. This was the system.
Like, all the recruits lined up for their official dinner, and they had the McDonald's was all there. Like Trump in the White House when they had that visit with all the fast food stuff. And they're just, every kid that comes through gets their McDonald's bag of cash. That's the way they made it sound, yeah.
Yeah, that did not happen, though.
I think Dan just wanted to cut a check from him.
Get him on as a sponsor?
Yeah.
I think that was the play.
Pruitt will always get McGriddled for that.
Turn your mic off. That's a ban. McGriddled. Will?
I'm still allowed to talk, right?
I mean, if it was Butch.
I thought you were coming in with another McDonald's.
No, if it was Butch and it was like McGirdled or something along those lines, I could see it.
The McFlurry one earlier was good. This, not your best work. Should have saved the McFlurry one. Go bad, then good. Leave on a positive.
It says, the Wikipedia page says, the violations for Chadwell at Charleston Southern range from using multiple ineligible players to players using...
Which he wouldn't know.
Right. Like, yeah. To players using scholarship funds to purchase electronics and jewelry from the campus bookstore. I mean, come on.
I just think it's a shame this is how Pruitt's going to be McMembered.
Yep. Turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Turn
that it mic off. Is
yep.
done.
Yep.
And blew it for the segment.
You guys have, oh boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Oh man, you blew it for both of us.
No, you were already off. You're done. Maybe during the break I'll talk to you boys about mic discipline.
Yep.
It's very important.
You're done.
Unbelievable.
You're done like the ice cream machine.
What do you think, Dave? Find something?
Topmeyer just put out an article. Actually, I think it's by Mike Wilson, but Topmeyer tweeted, don't be surprised if Tennessee tries to make a splash hire by prying loose with Power 5 AD and then pivoting, if necessary, AD Hot Board 2.0.
I have heard that sitting ADs are getting the first calls, which is duh. I mean, I would hope that at Tennessee you can call sitting ADs and say, hey, would you like to come to Tennessee? We'll give you a raise. It's a mess, but you can be a hero.
I don't subscribe, so I can't actually see the
names. No, I understand.
Names.
It happened to me yesterday. Yeah, like
I think the ineligible
call
player.
Ingram, call Barnhart.
Don't call Gilbert.
Don't call Gilbert, please. Man, the reaction to Gilbert was bad. I was surprised. that most people cared enough to fight back on John Gilbert.
That's good, right?
Russ said it's like he got Shiano'd yesterday, which I'm fine with that. Don't want him here at all. Fascinating.
Yeah, I was digging down on the NCAA stuff. So, a kid even put on Facebook back at Charleston Southern. So basically about 30-plus players on my team, including me, have been suspended for using book money to buy other things in the bookstore, like pencils, binders, and electronics out of our school bookstore.
Like calculators or like?
We would have left over book money, and the workers in the bookstore advised us to spend the money because we would not get it back. So we did. Now the school and the NCAA are saying this is against the rules, so we will have to pay a fine and sit out a game. And then it went on from there.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like the coach's fault. That sounds like the compliance office needs to tell them exactly what they can and cannot do with their money before they go to the bookstore.
Well, then the bookstore people would want that extra money coming in, so they would advise. Like, I mean, yeah. I'm sure they didn't know the compliance rules.
No,
so
they had no idea.
Advise them to go ahead and spend it, because if not, like, it's not like the bookstore is getting it back.
Yeah, and I'm sure they, if some players did buy some jewelry, that was like, oh, see, yeah, that's obviously not for school supplies. You should have known. But when you're in the campus bookstore, like, you
don't
really
think. It's the bookstore.
Yeah.
They sell things other than books.
Jewelry is, clothing and, like, things on the outside are just as much school supplies as everything that you need to write with.
Yeah, you've got to rep. You've got to rep the brand.
If you're not dripping, you're missing out, especially at college. Also, I have a McDonald's pun I'd like to run by you during the break.
During the break.
And then Chadwell and an assistant coach were suspended for one game for enlisting the help of social media to recruit players.
So he DM'd a guy on,
yes,
and yeah, he wasn't allowed to.
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, what a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give me Chadwell, please. Please.
Final segment of the program. Jump around. We haven't been able to get to anything else this week. But we never do we?
No.
Just on Tennessee all the time. As the T turns. I don't know what we'd do, though, if it was just, you know, if we were just Alabama, just always winning. So boring.
Apparently, some are saying that Kiffin is not out of the realm of possibility, and others are saying there's no chance. So there's that. There's that nugget.
So you know nothing.
I know nothing. I mean, you have to at least talk to him, right? Hear what he has to say?
Yeah.
Especially if he really is back-channeling as hard as people say to get the job.
I told you, a source tell me they even back-channeled with Hugh
mm-hmm.
a while back.
Yeah.
They weren't, you know, it wasn't like, yeah, we're going to do this, but it was, let's see what it looks like and see what the SEC would, you know, all that stuff, and they were just kind of looking into it all.
I mean, if you're Tennessee... And you're trying to insulate yourself. Do you not have the most bargaining power with Lane Kiffin?
Yeah.
I would think so. Maybe Chadwell, too, just because he's, you know,
it's
loyal.
Such a big step
up. And it's a dream job for him, so he, you know, understand, I guess, the that level of commitment. That's why I don't want a Bill O'Brien. Like, I don't want a guy who's just going to come in here and, like, maybe work hard but not really care or get it. And then as soon as something better comes along, like, see ya. I want a guy who wants to be here for, you know, 5 to 10 years, if things go well.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense to... That's why the Kevin Steele thing just doesn't make sense. Like, that guy's just... He bounces around. Just wherever the next job is, yep, I'm good. And we know he's trying to snake his way into a head coaching gig. That's why he came here in the first place.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't like that move. That is. I mean, what is Kevin Steele like? A more experienced Jeremy Pruitt?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got that a middle break in the Orange Bowl and gave up 70 points. I mean,
one conference win.
Like
at
Baylor? That's who we want to hand the biggest. See, here's what happens: as you keep hiring bad coaches, that, as we pointed out earlier this hour, make your program worse and worse and worse and worse. It makes the hill to climb, the building part of it, harder and harder and harder, and you have to hire a better and better coach.
Yeah, and we do the opposite.
And so, like, there is no safe hire right now. There isn't. Mm-mm. There is no safe hire for Tennessee now because you put yourself at the bottom of this hole.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to roll the dice. So go ahead and pick. Plowman, Boyd, whoever the AD is, whoever they're talking, go ahead and pick. That's you got to roll the dice.
Because there's not a safe option here.
You got to roll the dice on Kiffin, you got to roll the dice on Freeze, or you got to roll the dice on Chadwell. There's pros and cons to all three. So pick your fighter and let's get to work. That's the only option. You're in the corner, you're down in the hole, whatever analogy you want to use, that's it. There's only one thing to do. Get busy living or get busy dying. I mean, this is it. Either just shut it down and tell the fans we're just, you know, whatever, or fight your way out of it. Attempt to fight your way out of it, at least.
Yeah.
Show us that you're willing to work a little harder than you normally do because you were crap for so long.
Well, and like you always say, like, at least show me that you have a plan. Like, I get it. You're going to make decisions. You're going to make calls that might not work out. But can I see where you're trying to go? Does it make sense? Not does it work. But can I logically say, I understand this decision here.
Mm-hmm.
Have a plan. Have a goal. Man, it's so easy. It's teed up for you, too. But I don't know. I just hope that this leadership group, the next AD, search firm, I hope they're not so worried about the optics of certain situations that you're going to overlook the best possible opportunities because of what people might think. Like, what would national media say about Tennessee if you hired Lane Kiffin? Like, do you think they'd kill Tennessee for it? Or you think they'd kill Lane Kiffin for it?
It would replace the McDonald's bagman jokes, so I don't really care. It'd be an improvement. Like, you can't fall worse in the national perspective than we are now.
No,
so
I agree. I don't think they would.
I don't
now,
think they would.
Now, if you hire Hugh Freeze, there'd be the Tennessee just hired the NCAA problem child, and they'd kill you for that. What about Chadwell? Would they kill Tennessee for hiring a Group of Five coach? Would they kill Tennessee for bringing back East Tennessee Chadwell?
No, not at all.
I wouldn't think so either.
Did they kill Missouri for hiring Drinkwitz?
No. No one's really killing Beamer for what he's, you know, or South Carolina for hiring him. He's been kind of a train wreck since he got there. They got a shot.
I mean, hell, they gave Louisville tons of credit for hiring Satterfield. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Sun Belt is the conference right now. If you're winning at the top of the Sun Belt, you're the top candidate out of the. Do we want to risk taking this guy with a big jump?
Mm-hmm.
No Power Five experience. It's the conference. Only, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, 0-1 against the Sun Belt. That's probably not true. Who else did we play? We're playing the other Sun Belt teams. We're going to play Troy, but we didn't, right? Anybody
right.
else? Maybe he was just 0-1 against the Sun Belt.
Neat.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you go. So, no, I don't. No. And like I said, you're only going up in the national media perception at the moment anyway. And lastly, I don't give a damn what they say.
Me neither.
They're already killing us for all the rest of it. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is in